is that big dog talk. And you niggas little pups, man, I'm finna run it up. I'm addicted to them bucks. In the grind, I got stuck, yeah.
Is that big dog talk. And you niggas little pups, man, I'm finna run it up.
I got about five topics.
The big dog.
In the grind, I got stuck, yeah.
What?
That big dog,
yeah.
He's well versed.
Okay. Little pups, man, I'm finna run it up. I'm addicted to them bucks, yeah.
One. What it do, baby? Welcome to Big Dog Talk. We back at it again. Episode 8. Here to y'all on a lovely Saturday, cold, brisk night outside. I got some heavy, interesting topics today. We got a lot going on. We got the draft that just happened. We got free agency. We got trades left and right. But before we get into that, I got two of my homeboys with me. I got Keenan with me. I got Sean with me. Tell them what y'all are.
What's good? What's good? This is Keenan. You know what I'm saying? Currently here with my boy Sean. We appreciate you having us on today for the show. You know what I'm saying? Extraordinary topics with extraordinary people. So let's get it.
Already, already. And shout out to my boy Lamar, the big dog, okay, having us on episode 8 for Kobe. It's only right. Mm. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get this popping, man.
Okay, so we're going to start with the draft. The draft was 2 nights ago. We had Anthony Edwards going first to Minnesota. We had James Wiseman going to Golden State. We got LaMelo sliding right to the 3 spot, going to the Hornets. And we're going to skip a little bit farther down. I like Toppin going to the Knicks. So who to you all did you think was the best steal in the draft?
You already know, if everybody doesn't know out there, I'm a Wizards fan, okay? So we got Denny. He was he's from Israel. Now, I'm not really sold on that pick. So believe it or not, that's not somebody who I would say is a steal. I definitely like Toppin as well. He can definitely spread the floor. We already know what he did in college. He was dunking left and right. Definitely brought a lot of presence to Dayton. Now, I personally think that one of the steals was Jalen Smith, number 10 with the Suns. If you look at, like, what he averaged, now he's basically 7 foot. I think he's like 6'10",
yep.
10, 6'10", and 6'11". Basically a steal. He averaged 15 and 10, and he had almost two and a half blocks, bro. So, you got to see what the Suns just got. I say this all the time with CP3 that he's, I don't really want to say washed, because he's still a great point guard, still one of the best pure point guards. But as far as like winning you a championship, he's not going to do that alone. He hasn't done it at this point. So, but having him with Devin Booker and then Jalen Smith, I feel like they definitely got something going
nice,
with that.
Nice, nice, nice. Sean, what do you think?
Well, to me, there's a clear-cut answer here. It's an obvious choice. That answer has to be Mr. LaMelo Ball with the Hornets, man. You got somebody that's coming into the league, coming off average about 17 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, 6.8 assists. This man is, you know, the reason why I think he's the biggest steal is because he has what's known as superstar potential. Okay, superstar potential. He got the pizzazz. He has the charisma. He has, you know, that big baller backing. You know what I'm saying? So I feel really good about LaMelo Ball. I feel really good about what Charlotte is doing with their squad, man.
I got to agree with you, actually, on that. LaMelo was going to be my steal for the draft. You know, 6'7", 190, got handles like Jason Kidd, potentially got a jump shot like Steph Curry. Has a winner mentality. He doesn't play any defense, but, you know, what guard coming into the league right now does play defense? You know, he is still young, 18 years old, almost 19, but he has size. And, you know, one thing if we liken to his brother coming into the NBA, he has the push the ball mentality. I'm going to run the floor general role. And if he can do that in Charlotte with Devontae Graham, I think they got a potential to actually finally make the playoffs. So I actually do like that is the steal. It's tough because that's the 3 spot, so it's not really a steal. But since Minnesota didn't draft him, we're going to go that with the steal. So we're going to go right into the free agency. It's been a splash. I'm talking crazy, like crazy. So to me, the Lakers came away as the biggest bombshell, steal, I guess in one day. Who y'all think is the biggest runaway steal?
You're going to be shocked again because I have to absolutely at this point agree with you.
Perfect.
Because I'm going to be real. You know how I feel about the Lakers. I really don't care for them. But coming off a championship and then making the moves and securing the people that y'all did is phenomenal. Like, you got to think that y'all got Harrell, okay? Now, who was he last year, Sean?
Sixth man of the year.
Okay, now, who was basically runner-up for sixth man of the year last
Schroeder.
Year? Okay, so Schroeder and Harrell, come on, man. Like, I told y'all before, it doesn't matter who you get rid of, okay? Like, okay, you lost Dwight, I understand. Water under the bridge, you know what I'm saying? He came back to L.A., fulfilled the promise, did what he had to do, cool. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Rondo left, but y'all made moves. Y'all got Schroeder, y'all got Harrell, y'all secured Morris back.
Wes Matthews, we scooped him up.
Yeah, y'all got Wes Matthews
and KCP
well, man,
on this fat-ass deal.
The baby goat.
Yeah, yeah, y'all already know who that is. KCP, baby goat, very essential.
Yes.
Very essential.
Yes. I'm actually going to surprise you guys here. Because y'all know, just so everybody knows here, I am also a diehard Los Angeles Lakers fan. So, obviously, anything that we do, I'm going to overanalyze and, you know, think about what are we doing here. But I love what the Lakers have done. The Lakers have made some very good moves. We've solidified our bench. At this point, with the KCP signing, I believe that our bench will consist of Schroeder and, as well as Harrell. I don't think neither one of those players will end up starting this year. So I think we're going to end up having a crazy secondary that a second unit that's going to be able to come in and literally dominate, let LeBron rest since he's probably not going to play for like the first month or so of the season because he already told us not to ever worry about coming back starting that in December. But I feel good about the signings, but I do have my my own issues here with it. Now, with Harrell, now, I want y'all insight on this. Y'all feel like Harrell is an upgrade over Dwight Howard?
Yes. Truthfully, bro, anybody truthfully over Dwight is an upgrade.
Damn,
for
son.
For what we need as an actual role player, because JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard do the exact same thing, essentially. And with JaVale taking his player option, we truthfully did not need Dwight because we saw in the playoffs, both of them never played at the same time. And truthfully, only one of them would play or we would actually take them out the whole entire game. So Dwight to me is a, you know, you just take the cherry off the top. You still can eat the rest of the ice cream. You know what I mean? So that's my take on that.
Would you take McGee over Dwight?
I would take JaVale over Dwight. Just because he can run the floor a little bit faster and he's a little bit longer. And as much as I did, like Dwight, he was our enforcer. You know, he was kind of like he would come in the game. He roughed up the Joker. You know what I mean? He did his role, but he couldn't score. If it wasn't a lob, he wasn't doing a jump hook or, you know, running the baseline underneath dunk. That wasn't his game. So him losing for $2 million, bye-bye. Go and scoop up Harrell, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, can play the center position and guard, the 2 guard. We need that. And he's fast, and he's amazing in the pick and roll. It's a win. Keenan, what you think?
All right, so I definitely have to agree with Harrell being a better pick over Dwight at this point of Dwight's career. Because let's not forget the type of player that Dwight was. He was an exceptional player. He's had back issues. So let me just state this. Out of 30-something teams in the NBA, Harrell probably could start on 16, 17, 18 of them. So definitely absolutely better than Dwight. And I would definitely also take McGee over Dwight at this point in his career as well because I feel like he's just a little bit more athletic. Now, I will say this. McGee never really had the opportunity. The offense never ran through him.
Correct.
If he got the ball, he's instantly looking for an outlet.
Yep.
You know, but I feel like if given that chance, he's tall enough. He's put on a lot more weight.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like he would be able to add some more assets, but that's not what y'all need. Y'all don't need him to do that because y'all have so much more talent and scoring in other areas. So that's how I feel on that.
Okay.
So I have to say here that I vehemently disagree with both of you guys here.
What?
Vehemently. Okay. I'm gonna tell you why. Okay. So, would we have beaten the Nuggets without Dwight Howard?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I beg to differ. I do not believe that we would have beaten them, because Joker coming into that series was going crazy, bro. He was going bananas. And we all know this is true. Now, when he ended up having Dwight Howard on him, it was Dwight Howard, obviously, in conjunction with Anthony Davis. But it was solely Dwight Howard that took Joker out of his game and took him out, pretty much out of his series. Rhythm. Yeah, out of his rhythm. So Joker's only going to be getting better. It's, you know, very likely that we end up running into him next year again in the playoffs. I don't feel as comfortable not having a 7-foot enforcer on my team. So without having Dwight, you know, in our repertoire, I think that's an L. However, I like the Montrez signing. I think that he's going to bring that energy, but he doesn't really have much offense. Any offense that he was going to bring was the same thing. Because, I mean, Lamar, you just made the point that Dwight didn't have much offense to bring to the table. Neither does Montrez. Like, does he have a jumper? Can he shoot threes? Is he going to space the floor? No, he's going to do the same thing that Dwight was able to do. So, I mean, I like it, but I don't think he's going to be able to provide nearly as much enforcer-type defense like what Dwight was able to bring.
Gotcha. Okay.
But to answer the question here, I think that the Bucks have made the biggest splash in free agency this year. First of all, they have added my boy, Drew Holiday, okay? Averaged last year about 19.1 points, 6.7 assists. He's a playmaker, one of the best playmakers in this league. and we can all agree that Drew is probably a top 20 player in the league, maybe top 20, top 25. I like Drew Holiday a lot for adding that to that team with Giannis, with Chris Middleton, with Brooke Lopez. The Bucks are going to be even more formidable this year than what they were last year, obviously, should Giannis stay, which I believe he is. So, yeah, I feel really good about the Bucks.
I mean, that's blasphemy. I ain't going to lie to you, bro. You're telling me that just because they got Drew Holiday, you're saying they're a completely better contender team? Now, if you would have told me they end up getting Bogdan, sure. I would have said, you know what, Sean? I got them competing with the Nets. But just them getting Drew Holiday, they picked up DJ Augustine and Portis. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to probably bring back Connington. Like,
and I love the DJ Augustine pickup, by the way. But go ahead.
But, you know, that's another guard. That's another point guard.
And he's on the end of his career.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as much as respect and disrespect that Drew Holiday gets, he's had plenty of opportunities to be an all-star, and him going with Giannis, who primarily is the ball handler coming up and down the court. He needs shooting. That's the only way the Bucks are going to prevail, is if they get shooting. But the Bucks, to me, they lost out. They're going to lose out on Giannis.
The Bucks definitely got an F, bro.
They blew it.
And, you know, and we're talking about people who made a splash. Like, the Lakers are the ones who made the splash. I mean, point
blank. I would say even Atlanta. Yeah. Don't forget about Atlanta.
Right. I mean, even as Sean was stating, you know, with the Hornets. Yep. I mean, Gallinari coming down there. But
big moves.
I just want to also talk about briefly the fact that there's a lot of teams that seem like they're always starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really want to point the finger, but let's go to the Knicks real quick. Because you just talked about Bobby Portis, who the Bucks got. But they only got this man because the Knicks declined his offer. Okay, they declined his option. They waived Taj Gibson. They waived Wayne Ellington, Wooten, and Payton. Like, what are they doing? Like, I understand they got Obi. Like, they still got RJ Barrett, who I thought was going to be the face. But clearly, it's looking like they're going to be gearing towards another lane, if you will. So it's a lot of teams that I feel are messing up the dynamics, and then a lot of teams that are shaking it up. So I understand that, you know, y'all are making the splash in my eyes. Sean thinks the Bucks, but it's a lot of teams that are making a lot of moves all together. So it's, for sure. It's interesting.
Yeah, for shout sure. out to everybody out there grinding, because it's a lot of teams making little noises that are actually going to be a big ripple effect come season time.
And, you know, we still haven't talked about Phoenix with this CP3 trade, man. And, to me, that solidifies them into the playoffs for sure. They got CP3. They got my boy Book, Wet Like I'm Book. They got DeAndre Ayton as well. So I feel really good about the Phoenix Suns this year. Atlanta, obviously, picking up Rondo. You know, they get two players in this Rondo pickup. They get regular season Rondo as well as playoff Rondo. So they're surely going to be making the playoffs, in my opinion. I think Atlanta's going to be playoff bound this year. But are y'all going to really sit here and act like the Bucks won't be the number one seed in the East this year?
So we're going to get to that. We're actually going to talk about who is the biggest threat to the reigning champs, the Lakers. Now, I'll start this off. I'm going to start with the Nets, who by far, I feel like, and this is all going off of if KD is healthy and if injury-prone Kyrie is healthy. If they are healthy with him, LeVert, Jared Allen, Wilson Chandler, they lucked up and was able to keep Joe Harris, who I thought they were going to lose, and they got DeAndre Jordan. I think they're easily going to win 60 games this year. Well, actually, since the schedule is 72 games, probably 50 games easily, and they're going to come out the East. So to me, I think if they can get chemistry down pat, they got a superstar team. I think to me, they're the biggest threats to the Lakers to repeat.
They have Kevin Durant. And if he's even a shell of what he was before, he is the one player that can stand up right next to LeBron James and say, hey, nah, I'm the best player on the floor. I'm the best, man. Right? I did it. And literally, you know, try to back it, you know? So I feel really good about the Kevin Durant, return of Kevin Durant. Not only that, they're just deep. That squad has been very, 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 it's been a roster that's, with the second unit, first unit, they have plenty of shooters, and don't let them go get James Harden. Don't let them do it. It's going to be crazy.
I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm a realist. You know, I look at certain things and I love to debate, but I like to find inconsistencies with what people say from time to time. Now with this, I honestly feel like it's too early to say. I feel like there's nobody in the West to even worry about at this point.
I actually agree with that. I'm not even gonna lie. I agree with that statement.
And Sean, if you don't mind me stating, I remember before, which I know that it's changed now, but I know you stated before that the Warriors, that you thought that the Warriors may be an issue. And I only bring this up to state that it's too early to state because things always change. Now, Klay just got injured. Had Klay not got injured and them picking up, you know, who they picked up and they're just making the changes, I felt like, yes, they could have been maybe a threat, but still not a big enough threat to get over you guys. Okay. Now, when it comes to the East, like naturally, the West is going to verse the East. So, yes, who's going to be the threat in the East? So in that case, I have to agree with you guys, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I just feel like it's too early for me personally to make a statement on who I feel like would be a threat because things change.
I think that there's a team that none of us have named here, and it's a little problematic in my opinion, but we have not discussed the Philadelphia 76ers heading into next year.
As a threat?
For sure.
Sean, you for drunk sure. over there.
You don't think that Philly is going to be a threat? They have Joel Embiid. They added our boy Danny Green, Seth Curry. Okay,
they got a new coach.
Yes, they surrounded them
with shooters.
They surrounded Simmons and Joel with shooters, and they gave him a formidable backup in Dwight Howard. I feel really good about Philly's chances next year, but it's going through the Bucks next year in the East. That is, I mean, come on, it's Giannis. I mean, that's really enough that needs to be said unless KD can, you know.
I personally feel like I never saw the Heat getting as far as they did, even though it was the bubble. Like, I don't want to make it an excuse because people like to say, the bubble was a different atmosphere. So, like, I can't know. Like, the Lakers won fair and square. Everybody who was there played fair and square. I can't take nothing away from it. But I don't know, man. It's...
See, the thing about Miami, I don't think they've made enough moves this offseason to be back. I mean, they just signed Avery Bradley. I'm so mad at them for that because, you know, I wanted Avery Bradley back. But just adding Avery Bradley isn't going to be enough to solidify their chances to be able to compete with the Nets or with the Bucks, in my opinion.
But look at who they had. They look at who they had last year. Like, no, like I said, I didn't think it, and a lot of people didn't think it as well, besides maybe Heat fans. Like, they know that they have a formula that they need to apply next year.
Yeah.
As long as they apply that formula, I don't see why they can't be in the top three again and make some noise.
Now, Sean, I am totally shocked you said the Sixers, who have underwhelmingly played and performed these last 3 years so poorly. I mean, I guess you could say the Kawhi game winner, maybe they could have won that game. But until they get rid of either Ben Simmons or Embiid, their future is dark. Because currently they have two young superstars and neither really play well together, because Embiid wants to play down low. And then you have good old Ben Simmons, who wants to push the court. And yes, they did surround him with shooting, but it still doesn't help the fact that who's going to play backup point guard? Is Ben Simmons going to run point guard? Is he going to shoot a three-pointer this year? You know what I mean? Yeah. I get it. But if you're backing up off of Ben Simmons, nobody's going to leave Steph Curry. You know, you bring in Dwight Howard. What's Dwight going to do? Dwight's not giving you 10 points a game. And until Embiid gets in shape, I feel like they shouldn't even be talked about. Until he takes basketball serious enough, similar to like Giannis, okay, offseason, I'm putting on 15 pounds of muscle. Embiid eating cheeseburgers before basketball games, laying on the court, joking around. No, you don't take it seriously at all. To me, they go back. I keep the Heat kind of similar to what Keenan said. I actually got the Heat as a top four team. I'm kind of flip-flopping because I do like Toronto and I do like Boston, but I think Philly goes backwards. The only thing about Philly that they should be happy about is they got up off that nasty-ass Al Horford deal, because that was a horrible deal to sign him for all that money. They got up off that deal.
Very horrible. But I kind of agree with Sean on the Sixers. I only brought up the Heat because I'm saying they went to the finals last year. We can't ignore them. But I agree with what he's saying, because – how long are we going to call them young? How long are we going to call Ben Simmons young? Like, we got to get off of that and really look at, like, they're still making the playoffs. Doc Rivers is a good coach, whether you want to say it or not. He's a good coach. Now, he's had some tough stints with the Clippers. Now, I'm going to be real. The Clippers always have a tough hand. Facts. So, you know what I'm saying? Let's not, you know what I'm saying, really put too much on that. But we cannot keep calling them young for too long and then making excuses for them, because at the end of the day, they're still going to the playoffs. The plan is to get a championship. That's the main plan for every team. And part of that is to get through the regular season and to make the playoffs. If you're making the playoffs, then you've already accomplished goal one.
Hold on, Keenan. I get that. They are still young. You know, Embiid, and I think he's 24. I know Ben Simmons is 24. If we go off these last 4 years, they got bounced in the first round this year. They got bounced in the first round last year. They didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
They didn't make the playoffs the years before.
You're absolutely correct. I'm just like, now you know the way I look at things. Like, I'm not gonna be so forthcoming to be like, all right, well, they're out of the mix for me, because like I said, we still have to call what it is. They're still making the playoffs. Everybody's not gonna win a championship.
Right.
You feel me? So I'm looking at it like they're still accomplishing a goal. So we know that the team is moving in the right direction if they're in the playoffs. You got to look at Phoenix, who hasn't made the playoffs in what, 11 seasons or something like that? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to just acknowledge that they have brought in a championship culture, bringing in Doc Rivers. As much as Philly has been a little subpar here recently, they also did not have a coach with the experience that Doc Rivers has. Not now, granted, Doc Rivers, he's gotten a little iffy here, specifically with the Clippers. However, I would take Doc coach over their previous coach, and I feel good. I feel like that's a step in the right direction with them bringing in Doc to try to figure something out, find a formula that works up in Philly. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be right there in contention with everybody else, you know?
I mean, I can agree with that.
I say they're probably top six in the East.
I can
probably top six in the
East. I can agree with that. I'll give you six. So yes, I definitely will agree with you on that.
Now, I don't think they're gonna compete with the Lakers.
This is a very interesting topic, because if we're going off of who's a threat to the Lakers, where is Boston at in all of this? Because to me, Boston is, I wanted to say one piece away. You know, Keenan and I rapped about this briefly earlier, if they got to stretch big, but maybe that's not the style that they want to play with. You know, maybe they do want to keep this grit and grind. So I think this year, getting up off of Hayward, now let's figure out who's going to be the leader for the team. Is it going to be Tatum? You know, is it going
to... You know, I have to stop.
Okay.
Where's Boston? Where's Boston? Nowhere. Nowhere in the conversations, if I'm concerned. I'm going to say they're nowhere.
Yeah, I don't – if we're talking about teams going backwards, it's clearly Boston.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, though, I surely believe that Boston is still going to be in the playoff race. You see what I'm saying? So they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be there competing. You know, Jason Tatum is my guy. They got Kemba Walker still, the return of Jalen Smith as well. So they're going to have a very formidable squad. You know, I told you on the last podcast that Brad Stevens is one of my favorite coaches over in the East. However, Boston hasn't done anything to improve. The league is about evolution, and Boston has not evolved at all.
Okay. All right. So we're going to jump all the way back over to the West Coast, the best coast. The Warriors, which is very interesting right now because they are kind of in shambles right now. They lost their heavy hitter, Klay Thompson, their sharpshooter, Green Light, Splitgack. You know what he brings to the game. 3 and D. Now, they scooped up Kelly Oubre. I love that pick. And now they kind of got to make the roster fit around Steph. And I like what they do. Even with Klay, I thought they were going to be a top five team. Without Klay, I have them making the playoffs. But do I think they're going to make noise? Yes, I think they're going to make a couple games, make it interesting. But to me, if Steph isn't averaging 30 and 10, I see them fighting for their life come playoff time. And they're going to be in that play-in tournament playing against Portland, playing against Sacramento, playing against the Pelicans. What y'all think? Y'all like the moves? You all think they're going to be in shambles? What y'all think?
Well, it's a very simple answer here. The Warriors aren't going to do shit. But let's think about it. The Warriors, they are, they have Steph Curry. They, you know, obviously have, they're going to be bringing back Draymond Green. They're going to bring back Steve Kerr, that championship culture. However, what else do they have? Do they have a bench? I would say no. They don't have Sean Livingston anymore. They don't have, any of those heavy hitters that they used to have on their bench, like David West, or even before back in the day when they used to have Jared Jack and them boys coming off the bench, just getting buckets. I don't really feel too confident about the Warriors heading to this year. And, you know, we talk about evolution. Everybody else in the West is getting better.
So do you think that James really Wiseman pick is going to help them get to that? Because I see you mentioned David West. So do you think James Wiseman can be a mix between Draymond, evolutionized, taller, big, that can shoot a little bit?
I like the pick. However, he's a rookie. So I don't really read too much into what he's going to do. The likelihood of him getting PT when we enter into the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, is very low. So, you know, I'm not really too sold on the Warriors at all.
Would you have some rum and coke tonight or something? No, hold on. No.
He's been drinking, you're laughing, bro. Lamar. He's a rebuild. No,
Lamar's going to be shocked. He's going to be taken aback. I say that because rum and coke is my favorite drink. Okay? And I'm saying that me and Sean on the same page today because the Warriors won't be doing too much, bro. Okay? Not at all. They're definitely going to increase, bro. They were 15th seed last year. Mm-hmm. Understand? So with Curry coming back, I understand Klay got hurt, but they have Wiggins still. They had the number two pick, who I feel is what? I feel like he's going to be an exceptional center.
I do as well. Yeah.
So I feel like they're definitely going to increase. They're definitely going to – like, there's no way that they cannot increase from their standing from last year. Yeah. However, me and Sean are sitting here right now, and we're looking at the Western Conference standings from last year. You have the Lakers, you have the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Rockets, Thunder, Jazz, Mavericks, and the Trailblazers in the top eight. Mm-hmm. I do not see really any of them fluctuating that much. I see that
OKC?
I feel like the Suns, I feel like the Suns, like I could easily replace the Suns and the Thunder.
Facts.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I don't know if you remember, I said that my third favorite player at this point is Brandon Ingram. So I'm hoping that the Pelicans can do something this year. But I don't see the Warriors making a substantial jump to the point where they're going to go from 15th all the way into the top eight. You know, they got Oubre, as you stated. You really like that move they made. I love it. Yeah. You know, we picked up Oubre, the Wizards. So I really love that. I'm mad that we gave him up. I feel like he was really going to do something with John Wall, who is currently, you know, demanding a trade.
Mm. Speaking of John Wall, that's perfect because I'm curious, as you being a Wizards fan, a diehard Wizards fan, and I know it has to be tough seeing your superstar barely play, and then when he does come back, he say, hey, I'm trying to get out of here, actually. So, you know, it's been lurkings that him, a swap for Russell Westbrook. Who do you think would get traded first, Russell Westbrook or John Wall?
Well, first off, John Wall, in my eyes at this point, he's still, you know, one of our go-to. But he has, like y'all said, he hasn't played in 2 years. And at this point, Bill has solidified himself as being our quote-unquote star. But I personally think that Russ would go first only because you got to think about, like, the relationship. I know it's a business in basketball, but you got to think of the relationship ties. And I feel like Washington and John Wall owe each other more than what
Russ owes to Houston.
Russ. I feel like they'll be more willing to get rid of him knowing that they still have a star in their presence being with Harden. In my view, I really feel like Russ would get dealt first prior to Wall. What you think, Sean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you here. Russell Westbrook, the previous MVP, he is box office, you know, point blank period. I could see him easily going to the Knicks and selling tickets up north. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we talking about Russell Westbrook. Last year was kind of a down year for him, but he averaged 27-8-7 on a bad year. You see what I'm saying? In which he wasn't able to perform or overly perform in the playoffs. But, you know, Russell Westbrook clearly is the answer here. With John Wall, he hasn't played in about 3 years now. You know, recency bias. Like, we don't know what John Wall would be able to do, what he's going to be able to bring to the table when he returned. Now, he's looked good in some of the pickup games. So there's been, like, scrimmages and stuff that we've seen John Wall hooping here, you know, recently. But obviously, that's not NBA basketball. NBA basketball.
Shit, I get buggers in pickup. But I feel you on that.
When it comes to the Knicks, I mean, if you're the GM of the Knicks, who would you rather have, Russell Westbrook or John Wall at this point right now?
So that's crazy that you say that because I think I had texted Keenan earlier. I told him that the Knicks might mess around and throw a couple picks, throw Randall in there to sprinkle it in there and go get John Wall. But see, truthfully, I think they pull the plug eventually on Russell Westbrook because right now the pairing of Russell Westbrook, RJ Barrett and Toppin, I really like. You know, it's not like they're a great team, but they go from bad to average. You know what I mean?
Do you think that Russ has what it takes to take a young core like that and be able to wield them into a victory? Now, the Knicks are a team that needs a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like they need a veteran presence and a strong veteran presence, not just a player who is trying to fill the stat book. Like, I feel like Russ, and we all feel like this, that Russ wants to be the man.
Yeah.
He cannot go to the Knicks wanting to be the man. He has to be willing to do other stuff.
Yes. And, you know, this is very interesting because our next topic is who is a superstar in the league. To me right now, and I absolutely love Russell Westbrook. I absolutely love watching him play. I love what he brings. But to me, we just seen Russell Westbrook play with Kevin Durant and James Harden. And, you know, who can say that they play with the two top 10 scorers in our generation and still not be successful? So at this point in his career, being 31, 32 years old, is Russell Westbrook still a number one? Is he a number two? Or is he just straight up a number three now at this point in his career because he can't shoot the three ball? And we just saw him not be the number two in Houston. So if you can't be the number two, you damn sure can't go somewhere and be the number one anymore because that ain't working OKC.
Russell Westbrook was in D'Antoni's system, and D'Antoni's system solely relies on three-point shots. So if you're going to have Russell Westbrook in that system, obviously he's not going to thrive. I think Russell Westbrook just needs to be in a system that would be more tailored to his play style. I think Russell Westbrook is surely a superstar in this league. Does he have some issues with his game? Sure. But everybody does. That nobody in the game is perfect. Everybody has things that they're not great at, right? You know, Steph Curry, he's great at shooting the three, but he can't play that much defense. Same thing with James Harden. He can score with the best of them, but he's not playing that much defense. LeBron James is the GOAT, debatably.
What the what?
But he can't shoot free throws, right? So what? Everybody in their game has deficits. They have issues with the things that they do.
I'm going to have some people that's going to be listening that's going to be coming at me with the smoke after I say this. Because, Lamar, we had the conversation earlier.
Yeah.
Me personally, I always say everybody in the league is talented. At some point in their career, whether it was high school or college, they were a dog. Now, granted, when we see them on the big stage, you're going to have people naturally scoring 20-some points, getting 10 rebounds, then you're going to have people on the opposite spectrum that are getting like 4 points and that will retire with 4 points. And that's okay. Now, a superstar by definition is a high profile athlete. You know what I'm saying? Who is successful, who, you know, goes above and beyond. I look at it as there's only a few superstars in the league to me.
Okay.
I won't even put Bradley Beal up there. I won't put John Wall up there. And they're my top favorite two players in the league.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I'm saying? That.
So, Lamar, we were talking earlier. I don't put Giannis in that category as being a superstar either. Now,
great.
This is why. To me, okay, think about what an all-star is. An all-star are the best players in the league. They're the best players in the league that come together. All right? He's an all-star. He's a phenomenal player. He's an all-star. So is Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is an all-star. James Harden is an all-star. Bradley Beal is an all-star, even though he got snubbed last year. Now, when it comes to superstars, I take those players who have been all-stars and who are qualified as all-stars, but then win a championship and that put their team in a winning position constantly and consistently. And even if not consistently, at least once. So LeBron is up there for me as being a superstar, okay. Of course. AD has now qualified himself in my eyes because he's been an all-star and now he's won a championship. Okay? So he's also a superstar. I got Curry up there. And then I also put Kawhi up there. For me, I feel like when people state superstar, it's really putting a super big title on it. And I feel like we've got carried away with calling people superstars.
Speaking of that, that's listening to you give your description of what you feel like as a superstar. It kind of made me realize that you have what is a superstar and what is a so-so star, where you're kind of right on the cusp of being a superstar, but you're not. Right. And I mean, for me, a superstar, not everyone wins a championship. You know, one thing you always say, not everyone can win a championship. A superstar is somebody who is the number one guy, who's box office, who's marketable, and can do a little bit of everything. If not everything, is amazing at one good thing. So, you know, for me, I list off just, you know, five superstars off the top of my head. Giannis is a absolute no-brainer because anybody that can average 30, shoot 50%, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks, you're an automatic bona fide superstar. And you're in a small market. Obviously, LeBron, we don't even need to go there. That's a no-brainer. We texted about this earlier. I think you said James Harden was not a superstar, but the man averaged 36, 30, 28. And I mean, and he's incredibly marketable. And he's put himself as the third best scorer as a shooting guard ever to play this game.
I can't disagree with anything you're saying because at this point, it's really honestly just preference and opinion.
Right.
For me, I'm just not like so willingly to be like, oh, you're a superstar. Like, he's a star. Don't get me wrong. Like, one of the greatest in the league. For me, like, you need to be a consistent winner because Tracy McGrady, like, I love Michael Jordan. Everybody knows I love Michael Jordan. But Tracy McGrady is hands down my favorite player to ever have ever played. Now, he's a star.
Right.
Yes. Allen Iverson, a
he's
star.
A B-level star. He's a B-level star.
Right. You know, I know it's going to ruffle some feathers. I apologize for it. But at the same time, I don't apologize.
Okay, so you know what? If we're going off of that, my only true superstars would be Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James,
AD,
and that might be it where I'm capping it off. As my tier, top tier level superstars. You know, my B-level superstars, obviously my Russell Westbrooks, my James Hardens, my Chris Pauls, you know what I mean? Your Paul George, Kawhi Leonard's.
Notable.
Those are B, but if I'm going off of the criteria you just gave and off what I truly consider my criteria is, you know, being a winner, being marketable, being actually considered to be a top 50 player, you got to actually be a superstar. And those people I listed are superstars. So, Sean, what do you think?
Well, I think that you both have made some very good points here. But a superstar, by my definition, is somebody that transcends the game, right? Somebody that adds an element to the game that makes people want to play like them.
Okay.
So obviously LeBron is the number one superstar in the league, right? Today, he's the number one superstar in the league, but there are a couple of other notable superstars. Lamar, you said that James Harden is the third best shooting guard to ever play the game.
That's correct.
Did you?
Yeah.
You really feel that way, or were you just saying that because you?
No, I said he was the third best scorer as a shooting guard ever. That's not even a question. You can't even debate that.
Okay, so you would take James Harden over Allen Iverson?
He was a point guard, but yes, I'm taking James Harden.
Allen Iverson was a shooting
guard. I'm taking him over Allen Iverson 7 days a week.
That's blasphemy.
You know Allen Iverson, but okay, three ball. But go ahead.
Sean, to what you were saying though, mm-hmm. I just want to ask because you said a player that transcends the game, which I do agree with that. I do mm-hmm. agree with that. But is that a preference thing, or is that like just in general?
Because this sounds preference.
Because honestly, somebody could say Brian Scalabrine transcended.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And their preference. You know what I'm saying?
When I say transcend the game, I mean that they bring an element to the game that makes other people want to play basketball.
So who's your
not just play basketball, play like them. So we have obviously LeBron James. We have Anthony Davis. I gotta be honest, fellas. Giannis is surely a superstar. He's averaging crazy numbers compared to others. He's right up there in the top five in the league. Kevin Durant, most definitely. And then Steph Curry.
Okay.
You know, that these are our superstars in the league. Now, James Harden, he's very good. Very good player. You know, tremendous player. However, you know, top three shooting guard all time. Lamar, you're on drugs right now, bro. Like, not at all.
Sean, you must not know what this man been doing, Sean. We haven't seen anything like James Harden who can be able to manipulate the game. That man can manipulate the game.
But one thing that I do, just real quickly, I want to ask both of you.
Yep.
On the topic of superstars, do you think that once you're a superstar, you're always a superstar?
No.
But in the eyes of what you're saying, what you guys are saying and what you qualify as a superstar right now, technically, the media is stating the same things that y'all are stating, that Giannis is a superstar, that James Harden is a superstar. You know, they are a star to me. They're a phenomenal star, but I just don't classify them as being super, because to me, super means that you're doing more than just being an MVP or putting up ridiculous numbers, which they all are. Like, I'm not taking anything away from them at all. So, yes or no?
To me, you only become a superstar off of consistency. See, the word superstar gets thrown around like your underwear when you're throwing it in the trash. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be consistent. And if you're consistent for over 5 years or over 3 years of a span where you're doing the same thing, you're almost there to win a championship. Say you look at like Devin Booker. To me, Devin Booker is like a B minus. He's right there to become a superstar, but he can't. You know what I mean? Because I can't say he's a superstar just because he can score. Because like you say, everybody can score. It's the NBA.
What about Luka?
Now. Hello.
No, that's your boy, Lee.
If Luka does this another 2 years, yeah.
Does what?
What he's doing right now. He would have to do this, the same thing, for the next 2 years. He has to be consistent. But he's a bona fide freaking all-star, bro.
I mean, Luka's doing the same thing Russell Westbrook was doing. Triple doubles, you know, Didn't Russell Westbrook?
No, Russell Westbrook did that for a whole year.
2 years, I believe, right?
He broke Oscar Robertson's. That's different from, I mean, from, you know what I mean? But they both are losers. But Luka is way younger, you know what I mean? And Luka can shoot the three ball. And that's one thing that Russell can't do. And to me, I ain't gonna lie to you, I used to feel like Russell was a superstar. But I think he went down a notch when he started becoming a stat padding type of guy.
I agree with you there, Lamar. I think consistency will surely define if somebody is a superstar. Somebody can go from being a superstar to not being a superstar anymore.
Yeah,
for sure. Kevin Durant, he didn't play all of last year, but all three of us consider Kevin Durant a superstar.
We definitely still, right? He's been consistent his whole career, you know what I mean? And he's a winner. Well, you know what I mean?
Well, notice that I didn't state Kevin Durant in my top five, because remember, I left a fifth one blank. But when you say KD, I was like, okay, yep.
But did y'all know KD is only, like, I think it's like one of three or one or four people to shoot over 60% and score 25 points a game? That's unheard of.
So, you know. And then the other thing about KD is that he doesn't do it all at the free throw line like your boy James Harden.
Right, right. I agree. You know? But James Harden right now, if I wasn't a Kobe Bryant diehard, I would say he's right there with Kobe as far as scoring. But James Harden
as far as scoring. Yeah. Okay.
He's a terror, bro. Every time he touched the ball, all I do is say, okay, just move out the way. You know what I mean?
But as you see, that doesn't always translate, because one thing that Kobe was able to do was translate all those points into solid wins, bro. That last championship, it wasn't the best squad, bro. He translated those points and everything that he did. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had Ron Artest in our starting lineup. That says enough about how good that team really was, you know?
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. This has been an amazing episode full of interesting takes, left, right. You know, it's been absolutely great. I'm going to end this. I want to ask, you know, Keenan and Sean who they think is their GOAT. Tell me why. And we don't have to debate it. I'm just curious.
I mean, obviously, there's a clear-cut answer here. The answer is Michael Jordan. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, 6-0. He transcended the game, and everybody wanted to be like Mike, and still do.
Okay, Keenan.
It's that simple. Yep.
Sean was on my feet.
Jays.
Okay. Definitely Mike. I mean, people can say different things here and there, but he transcended the game clearly, even outside of basketball, into music, into movies. Definitely Mike, man.
So we can all agree on that, Michael Jeffrey. I agree with that as well. Obviously, you know, Michael paved the way for everyone to look at greatness as greatness. So we don't even got to talk about it. So thank you all for listening. Our next episode will probably be next week. It's going to be another great episode. Free agency will be all done. We'll actually have full rosters, and then we can prepare for training camp. They should be letting out the schedule, so we'll know what to look for. I just want to thank my guests, Keenan and Sean. It's been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank y'all for your time on this lovely Saturday.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you having us, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, yes. Shout out to the big dog. It's always a pleasure for you having us on here. Having me on here, man, is second episode, so I've thoroughly enjoyed every time. I can't wait to get back on here with you. That big dog talk, and you niggas little pups, man, I'm finna run it up. I'm addicted to them bucks, in the grind I got stuck, yeah, yeah. That big dog talk.